Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
It's Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
There's Saul Tillamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
All right. You're making me laugh already. There's nobody I'd rather have on right now. Baseball isn't boring. How's it feel, Alex? How's it feel?
Feel about being with you or being?
Yeah. It's been a year. We do once a year podcasts. Once a year.
Yeah.
That's our arrangement.
Yeah, it's okay. Tough one last night, right? I went to sleep up 11 and then the Celtics lost and they get crushed. Your boy JT Tomasi crushed him yesterday on Twitter. I saw this morning. It's 85 degrees. Actually, it's a cold front here in Puerto Rico, so 78.
Oh, really? Oh, all right. Yeah. By the way, when you say my boy JT, I thought you were going to say Jason Tatum, but I'll take Tomasi. So.
Tomasi. JT was limping, and then he came back.
Yeah.
Season over. Yeah. No, I feel good. Working out a lot of cardio.
Yeah, man, you look good.
Thank you. We made a conscious effort. It was a tough one this year. Tough year, not only professionally but physically. So I'm in a good spot right now. A lot of running and a lot of Peloton. Yeah.
All right. You know what that means? It means the first question in spring training: are you in the best shape of your life?
Yeah. It's actually I'm like 4 pounds from playing weight.
Are you what?
Yeah, like 4 pounds from playing weight. So, man.
Wait a second. If I go to your baseball reference page, which might not be the most accurate.
No, it's not accurate because that's kind of like the college. When you get drafted, they keep it there. So it's right. Like 175, 178. Okay. I played 200, 200, 205, sometimes 208. So we're getting there.
Did you have the knee done? I mean, people, this is what people didn't know, which I read between the lines, and I also witnessed like you hobbling around. You powered through a knee injury. Like, this is – talk about the grind, right?
So the grind was actually being out of shape. Yeah. Like, no excuses. So around September 22nd, there's this app. I don't know. I shouldn't mention it. I might get it for free because I'm paying, like, $5 a month. It's called – hold on. Let me make sure we get it right. Run Trainer. So I was like, man, I got to do something. I got to get going. The off season is coming and I had this the whole reason was like, okay, health wise, Angelica, the kids, but I had this ceremony. I was inducted to the Puerto Rican Sports Hall of Fame. And I'm like, bro, you better look a lot better than what you're looking right now. So I downloaded this app and I bought this program. It's called From the Couch to 5K.
All right.
And they walk you through it. Literally, they walk you through it in the beginning, and then they run you through it to the 5Ks. And I started doing it at Fenway, on the road, and all that. And it went well. And then after that, I started doing something else. They wanted me to go in the app. It goes from 5K to 10K. I was like, I don't know about the 10K. But it's been good.
It didn't help here. How much weight have you lost?
Oh, man. At one point, it was it's been a lot. A lot.
No, I know. So this is, you know.
What's Ref Snyder's number? 30?
30.
Right around there, brother.
Hey, you know what? You and I, me and you, I lost 32 and it beginning of September. Yeah. So there you go. Best,
like best shape right here.
Best, here it is. Best shape.
So 2018, right?
Yeah.
Boom. Yeah. For the good vibes too, I start taking stuff up and wearing them. I'm like, man, this feels good.
You know what?
Game changer right here.
Alex, so in case people are listening.
The moment right here, this one. The moment.
The Joe Kelly fight. The Joe Kelly fight.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, page 17. I mean, it's like, so, but it's. You know, one of the things, I definitely did not have this on my list of things to talk about, but one of the things that, like, Joe talked about that fight was the basically resetting after about, hey, you know, don't get beat into a fight. Let's go. You know, like outfielders just run in a little faster. Mix it up.
People don't. At one point, I was close to our dugout and I look up and it was like CC Chapman. Chapman was there, right? Harkey, Betances. We had no chance. No chance. Our early chance was in between the lines. And Joe did a good job. Carlos Febles, he got knocked down. It was a good one. It was one of those that I think as a group they needed. We needed, you know, I didn't need it, but I think the group needed it, you know, like, hey, here we go, we're good. You know, we're really good this year. So we'll take care of business. On and then if we got to do stuff, we'll do it. And I think that day was one of those moments.
Yeah. By the way, I'm not even going to pretend to ask you if you read the book, so it's okay. The fact that you like posed with it is good enough. But also included that, and I don't know if you knew this, the when Joe saw Tyler Austin in Times Square a couple weeks later, you know about this?
No.
So a couple of weeks later, they're driving through Times Square, and he's with the his guys, the Levinsons, and Tyler Austin's crossing the street. He tries to get out of the car to fight him.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they locked.
Probably I knew, but yeah, wow,
yeah.
Then we saw Tyler. I want to say he went to Minnesota, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the next year. At one point, we saw him in spring training. He actually apologized to Febles.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Where's Tyler right now? Is he in Japan?
He was in Japan. Yeah. I think he's in Japan. Yeah. Okay. So him and Franchi Cordero. So, all right. So let's talk about that, right? I wasn't the order, but, you know, you talk about 2018, about pissing on the territory of the Boston Red Sox. There's no other way to put it, right? You win a World Series. It's a part of this whole equation is getting back the brand, getting back like to that feel like, hey, you come in, we're going to kick your ass, whatever it is. And I know that's not easy to just say, hey, you know, we're going to get this player, that player. But do you get the sense that is one of the goals that you have to get back to?
one of the things I notice is Fenway is becoming very friendly, very friendly. And this is not, I can compare this to 2004, my first time at Fenway with the Dodgers. We went there, pretty good team. You know, we made it to the playoffs. We won the division. But like Beltre, LaDuca, Isturiz, myself, Jason Worth, Milton Bradley, we went there and we were like, oof, you know, like, yeah, we were in awe of Fenway and you do the whole Green Monster stuff, but it was uncomfortable. Like, you know, for a bunch of young kids to go there and play on a weekend, then David, he hit a walk-off in game one, extra innings. That place was rocking. You know, it made us feel uncomfortable the next day. We play, actually Wake pitched that game, we won. And then Sunday night, we play a Sunday night game and Pedro is pitching. And that's when we were like, forget this place. You know, because he warmed up and he walked, you know, like very slow, kind of like around game time. The game was supposed to start at 8:07. I think Pedro started walking at 8:05 to the dugout and the whole place erupted, you know. And that's what I'm saying, like, is it, but obviously we got to dominate. We got to be better. We talk about it towards the end of the season. Like, yeah, we're going to do a lot of different stuff in spring training at the stadium because we have to dominate Fenway. We got to get back to that. That's something we did in 18. We didn't do a good job in 19. 21 was really good. The last two, we haven't been good. We have to play better. I remember going into 18, we started on the road, right? We started well, and then it was Baltimore the first series, and yeah. I had a meeting. And I talked to the guys. I said, hey, this is all great. You know, we did an outstanding job in Tampa and in Miami, but this is where we have to, you know, dominate. And Baltimore the last few years, going back to probably 11, right?
Right.
They were pretty tough on the Red Sox. And oh, like, yeah. Hey, we have to dominate this team. We have to. And we'll talk about it. I think where we at right now as an organization with the group that we have, we get a chance to mold these kids, you know, to what we really want. You know, right now there's not too many veterans. I was telling Jaron, I said, you're the veteran of the outfield group, right? But we're very talented, but we have to make sure when we play at home, those 81 games become a real home field advantage, you know, and how we do that, playing better baseball, you do that, the fans are going to get into it, the city is going to get into it, and then we go, right? But it has been hard the last few years at home. You know, you go back to a few games that probably changed the seasons for us, right? Or two series. If you go back, there's two series against the Jays, right?
Let me guess. So Toronto, Houston.
Toronto and Toronto, right? Toronto twice.
Yeah.
You know, the Nate game, sorry to say it that way, but 28-3 or whatever it was, right?
Yeah.
And then this year they came in and was it Schneider? He went like 20-for-20 against us, the second baseman.
Yeah.
And we got swept after we played them well. And it's not that it's not acceptable. We're going to lose series at home, but we got to get back to that feeling, I believe. That's very important for us.
Does you and I have obviously been around Fenway. Does the images of the Dodgers fans having the parade, the whole, you know, and I know these are like easy narratives, but they're real things, right? The Dodgers fans have them or the Yankee series selling dollar tickets, whatever. Do the players understand that? Like, because you've been around and I know that like how important it is for you and for people who've been around. But maybe that's what you're talking about, is making these guys aware and say, hey, listen, no, the parades, we do the parades. You know, we go on the road, we do the parades. Because Alex, you know, that's how it used to be, right?
Yeah, I remember when I got traded the weekend before, I was with Cleveland playing in Baltimore, and there were like 10,000 people, 15,000 people all of them cheering for the Orioles. I get traded. We were in New York. I go to Baltimore. There's 45 or 50,000 people, and 45,000 of them were wearing red. You know, it was a weekend of like, wow, this is, I mean, the whole hotel scene, you know, people walking around in Baltimore. That's when I was like, oh, this is real. And I get it. You know, people are going to travel, you know, like the Mets have their group. The Dodgers do the same thing. We do the same thing in the West Coast, right? But I think, you know, regardless how many of the visiting fans are there, you know, it's still Fenway Park. It still should be loud for us, you know. And I think guys will get to understand that. We'll get to probably change the narrative in a sense. I always go back to – I know Boston is a great city to visit, you know, in the summer, yeah. Right? And people are making it – you know, they're making reservations right now, you know, with everything that you play and everybody. So – the Cubs will be there, so it's going to be fun, right, for baseball. You know, Milwaukee will be there. Who else? I think we're going to San Luis. The Padres will be there. That's going to be packed, right? Yeah. I mean, but we do the same thing in other places. You know, we went to Dodger Stadium when it really mattered, and in game five
– yeah.
They were like 60%.
But that's what I'm talking about. Fans. Like you got to, yeah. Like that has to.
But you know how you do that? You start winning again. You right. Win.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like you win.
So, all right. So speaking of winning, what is it like part of this as we sit here, as I just tweeted, like that in my world, in Boston world, in December 20th, we've never been in this situation. Never. Where you have so much uncertainty, and not, you know, there's still players, there's so much uncertainty. As the manager, you've never been, if you've been through off seasons, but you've never been through anything like this, right? What's it been like? Because this, the off seasons, Alex, it always used to be done by Christmas. That's a reality, right?
Yeah. I think the business has changed. I know, you know, like people might talk about us, but they're talking about us. But honestly, it's not lack of effort. You know, we're working. Bress is working. You know, the group is working. It hasn't happened yet, right? But it hasn't happened business wise, right? Like it. These two guys have, you know, dominate the game without, you know, like Otani dominated the whole winter meetings. Yamamoto is doing the same thing right now. And in this case, I do believe he's taking longer because the guy is really intrigued with the possible teams that he might play. He's really intrigued. And he's doing his homework, and he's doing everything possible to get to know organizations. And I do believe, you know, he's doing what he's supposed to. This is a game-changing, life-changing decision, right? And for everything that I have read and talk, whatever, it's a big deal. You know, this is not a one-year deal. Or a 2-year deal with an opt out after next year. Nah. This is game changer, not only for him, for his agency, but for the organization that ends up with him. So he's taking his time. And because he's taking his time, then, you know, the other guys have to be patient, right? There are certain organizations that have been aggressive, like the Cardinals, right? They wanted their guys and they got them. And I'm not saying they're done with the offseason, but they're in a position like, that's what we want, that's where we're going, and then we'll do the other stuff. There's other organizations that are waiting for, to the market to start moving, right? And I think where we at right now, we'll see how it goes. Maybe we sign somebody today. I don't know. You know, like we might not. But this guy is really good. This guy is legit. Obviously, there's going to be some adjustments. We've seen it with our organization, right, throughout the years with Daisuke. I don't think Okajima had it.
We did the podcast with Ian Brown the other day about going through the Daisuke thing. Like, I honestly believe there's nothing will ever compare to Daisuke. Like, I just because of everything,
the coverage and the novelty of it, right?
Yeah, I mean, there just wasn't as many. You know, I think it was a different time too, right? Because you won the bidding, you won the opportunity to negotiate exclusively. It was just different. But the unknown, a big part of that, and Alex, was that there was so much more unknown, right? Daisuke. I mean, when he showed up, you probably said, hey, show me the gyro ball. Show me this mystery.
The gyro ball. Yeah,
but I want to go back.
Then we got Okajima. Yeah.
Well, next thing you know,
just his buddy, you know, like, this guy's just hanging out with him. And he got his, you know, they crush him in spring training and like, whatever. And then, boom, that happened.
Yeah. I mean, maybe there's someone like that coming. But with Yamamoto, it's one of the conversations I like having is recruiting stuff. Like, speaking of going a year ago, right? A year ago, the guy, the godfather there, Joe Kelly, says, you know, that your recruiting is for Major League Baseball players. This isn't college basketball. Recruiting, putting the name on the Jumbotron doesn't hit like a contract does or a good place to play. So I get a couple of questions. First of all, this just cut to the chase with Yamamoto. It's like, does the fact that he didn't visit Fenway Park mean anything?
I cannot tell you he didn't visit or did visit or didn't visit Fenway, but I think he knows a lot about Fenway. You know, he has friends, you know.
Well,
he has friends that play with, yeah, he has friends. Like, probably he's been asking. And we're not talking about our, you know, left fielder. We're not talking about that. You know, we got guys that, you know, play with him this year that had the experience of playing in, you know, New York, experience playing in Boston, experience playing in Houston. You know, like, he played with people that have been, you know, they're ex-MLB players, and they have the inside of a lot of stuff. So, yeah, it's important, but it's not that important, right? Like, the novelty of Fenway Park, Wrigley Field, I don't know, you name it, you know, Joe Robbie's Stadium still. I don't even know what they call it down there. The Orange Bowl. You know, I think the novelty, that's in the past. They really want to know what the organization is all about. That's why they want to know. The other stuff, yeah, I mean, like, who doesn't? I mean, Joe said that, but I bet he would like to, you know. Who doesn't like it? Everybody likes to be loved, but I think at the end of the day, if those conversations in that room with his group, with your group, and the agency, and talk about, you know, how we envision this, how you see it, what intrigues you about the Boston Red Sox, the Atlanta Braves, the Kansas City Royals, you know, like, why are we in this room? And you talk about it and the possible structure of things, how are we going to help you to become a big leaguer? Because, yeah, you know, he's very talented, but he's not a big leaguer yet. You know, there's a lot of adjustments, a lot of stuff that not only him in this situation, but, you know, Seth Lugo, you know, Justin Turner last year, just how we operate in Boston, how it works, the city, how, you know, the family room works, you know, your family is going to be comfortable. That's all, that stuff comes into play, because we're talking about game-changing or life-changing decisions. And, the tour to Fenway, the tour to, you know, Citi Field or Yankee Stadium, that's great, you know. But if he really wanted to, you know, to do it on his own, whatever, he pays $20 at the team store, and he gets the real Fenway tour, the real one, with the people that have grind for 363 days of the year. And they give you every single detail about Fenway Park. I can't offer that to you or to Yamamoto or to whoever, you know, like, I don't know, but those people at the team store, they're really good about that.
Oh, by the way, that how awesome would that be? That, yeah, sure, you can go to Steve Cohen's house, but you know what you really want to do? Is you want to take this tour of Fenway.
Right? Just go there, you know, and you meet Angel, who runs Fenway, and Louie, who's amazing, and, you know, that's the way to do it. That's the way to do it.
You've been through a few of these now, maybe, you know, this is extreme level of it, but can you sense it when you're talking or people are talking to the guy, what's hitting for him? Like when you're talking about it, like that's interest me. Like we hear about Ohtani. Oh, he saw the Kobe Bryant video and he was, you know, whatever. I mean, that's, yeah. So, but can you sit when you're in on those calls or in person, can you sense like this is what's hitting for this guy?
Yes. Yeah, it's like a normal conversation. You try to make it as normal as possible and as organic as possible. When it becomes, you know, you're swaying, okay, cool. And then you move to the next point and there's no feedback or no questions, you know where you're in for a bad call. But I got to be honest, you know, we have talked to a lot of people. You know, the process is a little bit different than in the past, you know, in our calls. And I feel we've done an outstanding job, you know, presenting our program, presenting what we are all about. We've been very honest about the last 2 years, you know, like this is something that, you know, we don't like. It's not acceptable. And we're in the process of trying to get better. There's certain guys, if you look at our corner guys, right, that when you talk about Rafi and Casas, you know, people get excited because they've seen it, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can talk about the future, but it's more about the now because they're not starting to play with the Red Sox in 3 years or 4 years. They're starting right now, you know, it's 2024. So what we have to offer, and so far it's been a great process, very busy, to be honest with you, but mm-hmm. I don't mind that. One of the things, and this is something that it shocks me sometimes throughout this, you know, like, so players, some of them, they get paid throughout the year, right? Most of them, they get paid from April all the way to the last day of the season.
Right.
We get paid the whole season. So if they need me to be in a Zoom 2 hours today while I'm wearing shorts, a t-shirt, and a hat, I'm here, you know? You know why? Because I'm getting paid not working, right? Not hitting fungos, not throwing BP, not making decisions in a game. So, you know, yesterday was busy, today's busy, tomorrow might be busy. I don't mind that. Actually, meeting people and getting to know people and to see how they, the players see the organization is always a good way to measure where we at, right? I can tell you, you know, like there's a lot of positives about us, you know, like the last few years when we signed Strami, you know, we had a great conversation and we talk about our medical staff and he goes, I know how they are. I know how they operate. And I'm like, how do you know? Mitch Moreland. And I'm like, well, what Mitch had to say? Oh, this. I'm not worried about that part. I'm like, oh, okay. And then he goes, Drew too, Pomeranz. He told me the same thing. So I'm excited about that. And you're like, okay, so Mitch Moreland, Drew Pomeranz. And then for the next call, you know, we talk to you and we go that route. Like, hey, you know, like just talking to the players. I heard, you know, that people are talking about medical staff and they're like, yeah, you know, like we heard great things, you know. And then who talked to you about it? Mitch Moreland. You're like, Mitch. Yeah. So it's an interesting dynamic. Is one that I would love people to kind of like have an audience and just see it, you know, how it works.
But that's why I ask. I mean, like, I honestly, because, you know, at the heart of, well, the surface level is, Steve Cohen is going to Japan, or Brian Cashman sitting behind home plate for a no-hitter. You know, or
was Cash actually clapping for the no-hitter, or he had a game, you know, the Yankees, and he was clapping because Judge hit a homer?
Good question. I don't know. Was he even paying attention? I mean, who knows?
Never know.
But
first of all,
you get paid in your paycheck. We pay in t-shirts and smiles. So that's, thank you for. So when you, what was the thing? And maybe if you want to be specific with Yamamoto, that's your choice. But what was the thing that hit? Like, you're going through all this stuff. You've been through this stuff. And I've heard, I think Craig had pointed out that you have you and Bailey and him, they all have won World Series. Maybe that comes up. Maybe that hits. I don't know. Maybe it's the medical stuff that hits. What is the thing when you're on these things? Go, oh, man, like that hits for them. You know, has there been something?
Yeah, I mean, the World Series part of it is always good, right? But in that one, man, like, we got to be careful because they can't counteract, you know. They go, like, yeah, but the last 2 years, you guys finished last.
Right. So looking, as you said, looking forward, what is there something that sort of like you see their eyes? You know, we've done enough interviews back and forth where you can see what interests people and what doesn't.
In our case, and they know, you know, the way we have dealt with Daisuke and you know, Koji and all these guys that have been very successful in Boston, you know, kind of like the structure is always good, right? But kind of like we had a lot of Japanese players and they've been very successful. And that kind of like, you know, like they knew, but they know, you know, now they knew before, but you make sure, hey, you know, this is what's going on, you know, and we explain a few things. But I think that's something that it always intrigues me. We had I mean, like, obviously last year was kind of like the perfect example of making adjustments and helping, you know, Masa to be a good player in this environment, all the adjustments that we had to make and all that. So that was easy to talk about. But there's nothing, I mean, there's something specific like that I can pinpoint. It's like, oh, we got him, you know, this is great. Not really. Mm-hmm. I mean, golf, you know, like, so soccer, you know, like, if you like soccer, I don't know.
So we can get you on the country club and we get Revolution season tickets. There you go.
I don't know about Revolution. You know, we're talking overseas, but yeah.
Hey, I'm going to pivot here to the state of managers. You're obviously in the last year of your contract, but the Craig Council thing, I forget. Oh, Rob Thompson was the one who came out and said, hey, good for him. This helps. I mean, this isn't a secret. It helps managers. Like, what's from your point of view? And with the understanding that you got to win, that's the thing. You get your market or your Q rating or whatever it is helped by winning flat out. Yeah. Your brand has never been hotter. So, but your thoughts on the council thing, you know, and
good for him.
Yeah.
I mean, good for him, tough for Rossi. That's the way I see it.
Yeah. Right?
You know, but I think at the end of the day, you know, he was a free agent and, you know, and yeah, he cared about the Brewers, right? But, you know, I don't know how people are going to take this. I hope they don't take it the wrong way, but he took care of the number one team of his number one team. You know, his number one team is the Council's, right? That's the bottom line. It's like everybody that works. You know, you want to take care of your team, and he did. You know, business side of it for us, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how the other 29 organizations see it, But, you know, he was in a perfect situation, right? Like, we haven't seen a free agent manager, a true free agent manager, right? Because Madden was because of some out clause,
yeah,
some loophole in the contract.
Yeah, Friedman left, right? Yeah.
So in this case, he was a true free agent, and he cashed in, man. You know, I saw him play with CeCe in L.A., you know, so he's been very successful. He's been great, and, you know, for him to get this contract was huge. The other thing that it never happens, it became public, you know, the numbers. That never happens. You know, people, you know, I have read articles about, you know, salaries in the big leagues, you know, managers and all that, mine included. And sometimes I'm like, well, you're way off, man. Like, you're not even close. You're not even in the neighborhood, man. So that's something that got my attention, that it was public. That's the first time that I seen it. Yeah, 2 years with an opt-out, all that stuff, right? But structure-wise and money-wise, it never comes out public. And in this one, it did.
By the way, when Ohtani signs his contract, that's the Alex Cora contract. $2 million a year. $2 million a year.
Wow, my real contract. Yeah, the real.
No. I'm not.
The player contract.
when you used to tell me about your contracts, like the $2 million a year, back to back, right?
Not more, not less, right there.
It was. Correct me if I'm wrong. It was $2 million a year, 2 year contracts back to back, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
See, I remember that. Yeah. So does it feel? This is like, maybe a stupid question, but whatever. Does it feel different that you're in a contract year as a player and as a manager?
No, as a player, man, you were always wondering what's going to happen, right? Next, you know, what's next? I'm in a stage in my life that I'm older, you know, I'm 48. Thankfully, you know, to my baseball career, you know, I can coach the Titans like I did yesterday. By the way, they kicked our ass, the Astros. But I can do that, and I'll be fine. I'll be fine. There's other venues in baseball that I can do. So, you know, I don't see this like, oh, this is it baseball-wise, you know. Like, you know, if I don't come back to Red Sox or somebody else doesn't want me, oh, I'm done. You know, I'm in a good place. And I'm honestly, you know, invested into this. We have to be better, man. And you know, I think – coming into this, the last 2 years, maybe have, you know, it's different, right? Because now it's like, yeah, man, we better win. You know, that this is the way I see it. And we have to be better. You put your ego aside, you put your agenda aside. And, you know, well, I've always been 100% invested in the Red Sox. But this year is like, because of all this stuff and people are going to talk about it, it's like, no, man, like, things will take care of it. You know, like whenever we have to sit down and talk, we'll talk. And, you know, I think right now the talks are about how we're going to get better, how we're going to improve, how spring training is going to look like, how, you know, coaches meeting before winter weekend comes, how we're going to do that, you know, and just be ready for the season.
With this understanding that, you know, there's going to be other players added, as we sit here, I'll spin it toward an optimistic tone. As you sit here, you know, you have gotten some players, especially relief pitchers, whatever. And you, Tyler O'Neill, awesome. We found out his max bench press the other day. It was great. His protein intake. What is the thing that you're – because you're always really good about this, going back to – I mean, Garrett Whitlock, nobody knew who he was. Hey, this kid, Garrett Whitlock's going to be really good. What is the thing right now, or the guy, someone that you're excited about seeing heading into next year?
Tanner and Garrett just having a full off season, you know, a regular off season, you know, back surgery, hip surgery. That's not, you know, your broken pinky or your UCL, whatever thumb thing, you know, there were serious, you know, surgeries. So they were playing catch up the whole time. And for those two to be healthy, to go through the progression, right now, Garrett is in Fort Myers. He just got there. T- Tanner's in West Palm. Mm. I'm excited about those two guys because the upside is real. And regardless of what happened in free agency, let's say we add, I don't know, Pedro and Kurt, right? Just throw two names. You know, they're free agents. We got them this year. Boom, boom, boom. Garrett has to be better. Tanner has to be better. Bayo has to be better. Cutter needs to be better. Our guys have to improve. And we've been talking about these kids for 2 or 3 years. They're not kids anymore. Mm. They got two full seasons at the big league level. They're 27, right? 26, 27, 28. So they're getting to that point that, hey, you know, we have to start performing. It's not about upside or projections, whatever. We have to perform. And I do believe, you know, with all the respect that the, you know, the people that we had in the past, pitching wise, we're in a better place as far as like the vision and the structure and the philosophy. Now we have to execute. And in all the conversations that we had the last few weeks, talking to the players and all that, I do believe we will take that step. And then obviously whatever we end up doing in the offseason is going to help us out.
All right. Second to last question. What when you look back at you guys, I know you got Zoom calls. What how will you look back at the sort of the Alex Verdugo years?
I think you know, the 3 years, right? The one thing that I still believe that he needs to do to become the player that we all envisioned in the past is get back to hit lefties. And I do believe he can hit lefties. And for some reason, the last two, he didn't. In 22, there was a lot of ground balls. They attacked him a little bit different, a lot of two-seamers. He hit lefties in 20, right? And then in 21, we actually started platooning him.
Well, I remember when you didn't pinch hit for him. It was in Minnesota. You didn't pinch
hit. I hit the triple.
And he got a big hit, and it was like, okay, there you go.
Yeah, but that was early in the season. Then we actually started platooning him in August and September, and he had some big hits coming off the bench. We were in Houston, I want to believe. He came off the bench and, you know, kind of like the whole, like, platoon, very analytic. Like, they bring the righty, we put Doogie in. He can – I do believe that's the next step for Doogie. We had our things, but I think – I don't want to say they were overblown. I just want to say it was a good learning experience for both of us. I learned a lot dealing with Alex. You know, the vision, the way he goes about it is a little bit different. But one thing he does, he posts, you know, he plays. And that's very important, not only now, but in the past too, right? It's been something like you have to post. And he wants to post. He's made some adjustments throughout the process. Things that I have talked to him about it. And, you know, like I said, you know, I think he's a solid big league player. If he hits lefties, then, you know, I think, you know, he's going to cash in. And defensively, he accepted the challenge going into last year, did a good job. He ran the base as well. A little bit gun shy stealing bases. And this is, I got to be honest, I think it's not that it was on us, but that when he got thrown out against Houston in ALCS, kind of like from that moment on, he was very gun-shy. But he went first to third a lot last year. He was third in the league. So, you know, good kid. Our kids, man, they're close. You know, like all this thing that, we don't like each other, whatever. No, that's BS, you know, like. Business is business. The personal life is the personal life. And, you know, I think Doogie's going to be fine over there. You know, like, they're going to love him. And right, well, in left field, I think he's going to play left. But they're going to love him over there. And hopefully he has a good season and not against us.
Are your kids old enough to understand, like, that, get mad at you for trading someone?
No, they don't get mad. They just, you know, they just got to make sure where they at. They're into video games now. So,
So I was going to ask you Christmas gift, but so that's, there you go.
Yeah. They're into video games now. So, good learning experience this year. For their birthday, we got them this Nintendo Switch, right? We only got one. Cool. No big deal. Their birthday is in July. You know, they got hit back to school. So the rules in the house, you know, they cannot use the switch during the week. They use it during the weekend. Other way, cool. Season over, I got here. Angelica didn't explain me the magnitude of the problem, right? So I got here, and bro, it was like fighting for the thing. You know, I want this game, I want that game. Sunday brunch, like 3 weeks ago, I get up, I said, I don't care how they're behaving, we're going to get another switch. Yeah, it's over. I'm not going to deal with this stuff. So we went there, got the switch, got a few baseball games and soccer games, and now everything is back to normal. So my advice to whoever has two kids or twins, do not buy one switch, get two.
You know where that also is, you can draw a parallel. Don't just get one starter, get two.
Or three.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate it. If you want to have a competition, let's go. So we both lost 30, round 30.
I'm right. Good where I'm at, bro.
You're good? Maintaining now?
Four more. Yeah. Oh, I gotta maintain this. Hey, I gotta maintain this the whole season. Not knee injury. No.
All right.
It was hurting, but the reason it wasn't that I was hurt. The reason it was that I was fat, overweight, and out of shape. Yeah.
Well, again, you're speaking my language, so we're gonna hold each other accountable for the whole year. All right.
Yeah. You know what? I might challenge the beat writers this year to something like in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, yeah. We have to come up with something because everybody challenged us. You know, we need to challenge the group.
Alex, I said I'm going to Fort Myers in the best shape of my life. So I won't. That is going to be a thing. And it's not going to be the fake best shape of the life. It's best shape of my life.
It's the real.
It's the real thing.
I hope we have 55 guys that they're in the best shape of their lives and we can go from there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, as I think Ryan Brasher once said.
In celebration of opening day, we've got a special episode of the Moth Podcast for you. The theme is baseball and the surprising ways it connects people.
I gaze out at the players on the field, and then I look over at my dad, and I realize that in the silence between us that something has changed. It's like I'm seeing him for the first time.
Two stories about baseball, family, and so much more. The episode's available right now. Subscribe to the Moth Podcast to make sure you hear it.